Our next speaker is Declan Ferber-Gillick. Declan is a playwright, a poet, an educator, a political organizer, an Arenda man, a member of the Black People's Union, a member of the Media, Entertainment and Arts Alliance, and of course, a member of Trade Unionists for Palestine. So please make Declan welcome.
Thanks, David, and thanks to everyone who's organised this rally, and thanks to you all for coming out. Now, in mid-2023, I actually had a play on at the Melbourne Theatre Company just over there. It was called Jackie, and funnily enough, it was in large part about the necessity of resisting institutional repression of Aboriginal political and cultural freedoms. Now, I was actually interviewed about the play right here in this building by our colleague Michael Cathcart. Michael was thoroughly entertained by my application of Marxist political economy and the anti-colonial revolutionary theory of Franz Fanon. So Michael, if you can hear me, I shall now hope to entertain you further by reading the words of Malcolm X. The media is the most powerful entity on earth. They have the power to make the innocent guilty and to make the guilty innocent. And that is power, for they control the minds of the masses. Now, comrades, this genocide is many things. One thing that it is a media war. And it is a media war that I think, in the medium and long term, and the short term, actually, Israel and its allies are losing. Yeah. That's right. Now, since October, I, like you, have seen images and videos that will haunt me for the rest of my life. I have seen an adolescent girl's body hanging by a T-shirt from the exposed steel rods of the second story of a residential building, her legs having been blown off, leaving scraps of bloody skin and splintered bone. I have seen pools of blood mixed with flour while emaciated families eat weeds and animal feed. I have seen the body of a man bound with zip ties run over by a tank. But I have also heard and read meticulous reportage, historical analysis, and testimony that has flicked on lights in my mind that thankfully can never now go off. Now, did I see these images or hear or read these reports on Channel 7, on Channel 9, in the pages of The Australian, in The Age? Did I see this and learn this from the ABC? No. I learnt it from our courageous Palestinian colleagues, from dogged, disciplined historians, scholars and journalists on social and independent media. Give it up. Now, for the last 75 years, the Western media, from its hardcore right-wing reactionary attack dogs right through to its mealy-mouthed, liberal, centre-left Zionist apologists, has been telling us what to think about Palestine. Or more accurately, the Western media has been conditioning us not to think about Palestine. The Western ideological culture machine has been telling us that the conflict in the dangerous and troubled region of the Middle East is terribly complicated, is a never-ending cycle of squabbling over religious sites, is seemingly intractable, has its roots in ancient history, is very, very sensitive, is quite controversial, and is ultimately far too complex for our poor little ignorant minds to understand. We have been conditioned by the Western media through fear and favour not to think logically, historically, collectively or critically and not to ask basic, straightforward questions about the Palestinian struggle. This has been done so that we do not come to a common understanding that Israel, backed by Western colonial powers, is the original aggressor and the root of the so-called problem. In the weeks after October 7, we saw the Western media apparatus faithfully and eagerly trot out the atrocity propaganda that was flying hot off the press from Israel's Hasbro Bureau. The claims of mass rape, the claims of 40 beheaded babies, the accusations of anti-Semitism, the usual racism and dog whistling that seeks to characterise Arabic and Muslim men as inherently animalistic, savage, perverted and senselessly violent. We heard that the entirety of the Gaza Strip was essentially a breeding ground for terrorists, and we saw Western leaders faithfully parrot these baseless, evidence-free assertions as Israel whipped up another genocidal frenzy. We saw that it didn't matter one bit that this atrocity propaganda was then systematically and clinically debunked by our dedicated colleagues at Electronic Intifada, Mondo Weiss and the Grey Zone, because the job had already been done. The stage had been set, the consent for Israel's genocide had been already manufactured. Now, you may say, surely there are distinctions to be made between those virulent right-wing attack dogs at the New York Times, Sky News and the Herald Sun, and the well-meaning, democracy-loving bastions of liberal values at the ABC, The Guardian and the Saturday Paper. And normally, in peacetime, you might be right. But when push comes to shove, when a true crisis emerges for Western hegemony, when the forces of the of global South liberation put a crack in the armour of the imperialist nations and the Western narrative is truly under existential threat, there are taps on the shoulder. There are words to be had, there are levers to be pulled, there are editorial choices to be enforced. Because in the West, whether you are Albo or Dutton, whether you are the Sydney Theatre Company or Vic State Library, whether you are the ABC or Melbourne University, when push comes to shove, there is an agenda and there is a line and there are consequences for those who do not toe it. Our colleague Antoinette Latouf has felt the sharp edges of these consequences. But for many hundreds of other journalists, artists, writers, actors and entertainers, we have felt the dull heat. What worker in the arts, in journalism, in the culture industry hasn't in recent months felt the Zionist lobby and their little lapdogs breathing down their neck? Israel systematically assassinates journalists, scholars, artists and intellectuals in broad daylight. This we know. For now, in the so-called liberal West, Australia just disciplines them, threatens them, and, if necessary, cleaves them from their means of subsistence. But the impact is the same. We are not permitted to see, or to think, or to discuss openly what we know to be the truth. In the words of Antoinette Latouf's lawyer, she is the first Australian journalist to be sacked for communicating a fact, the very same fact that the ABC was reporting on. The lawyer went on to say that the ABC's conduct was a textbook example of what can go wrong when an organisation applies brand management techniques instead of being guided by principle, proper process and legal obligations. Colleagues, we in the West, in our unions, on our Instagrams and in our tweets, in our steadfast and relentless reportage and storytelling amidst the cowardly, warmongering institutions, have a job to do. It's not a paid job. It is a long, tedious, repetitive, thankless, risky job. But thankfully, we are not alone. We are part of the global PR team for the Palestinian resistance. From this day forward until Palestine and the whole world is free. That's right. We must stick together. We must stand up for what is right. We must agitate and organise in our unions. We must continually deepen and strengthen our bonds of solidarity. We must look one another in the eye and know what we stand for, know that we stand together on the right side of history and know who our enemy is. And we must not back down. This Tuesday, 12th of March, in the evening at Trades Hall, Unionists for Palestine, of which I'm a proud member, is running training for rank and file organisers. Then the next meeting, the next mass meeting for Unionists of Palestine is the following Thursday, the 14th, also at Trades Hall. I urge you all to attend, get active, join your union, agitate and push for a future where journalistic integrity is upheld and Palestine is free. Long live journalistic integrity, long live the struggle for liberation, long live the Palestinian resistance. Thank you.